for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, July the 5th, 2012. Carla Batard is the speaker of the service teaching on The Curse of the Bastard.
I want to pray first. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of the witch, the wizard, the warlock, and the witch doctor. I bind every spirit working against this place from the kingdom of darkness in Jesus' name. I send out the warring angels right now to scramble every plan and every assignment that the enemy has against Lake Hamilton, the people who come to learn, the people who come to teach, everyone who lives here and works here. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of darkness from this place in Jesus' name. I ask right now, Lord, that you would send your mighty warring angels to do warfare right here over the heavenlies, over this place, that we can have an open heaven to receive from you tonight. I ask you to send your ministering angels to help minister in deliverance at the end, and I cover each one of us with your precious blood of protection in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk tonight about something that I've taught on probably quite a few times here, but we have so many new people coming that it's important for this message, because if this particular curse is working in your life, no matter what else we do while we're here, it's not as effective. And I'm talking about the curse of the bastard. This is a very destructive curse that was working in my life, and I didn't even know it. I was 30 years old when I found out that this was something that was plaguing my life and wreaking much havoc in my life, and I am so thankful to God for the ministry of deliverance that I've been set free from this for its most part. There are layers and layers and layers of these things, and so if you've heard it before, then listen again. What got you last time won't get you this time, but something else will. So that's how deliverance works. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 23. I had a dear uncle from Connecticut that came to visit us, and he came into my house. I had not seen him he came when I was about 6 months old, and I had not seen him until I was 30. And he came to visit, and when he walked in the house, he just began to speak in tongues, and he walked through every room and came back and said, "Can I pray for you?" And I said, "Sure." So I sat down, and I was raised in the Methodist church, so I got in my prayer posture, and he began to scream and holler, and he was binding spirits and casting them out, and two in particular, Jezebel. See, the only thing I knew about her was she was bad. I mean, it was, I bowed my head, and all of a sudden it was like, what? And the spirit of illegitimacy. And I'm like, what? I said, "Uncle Ernie, I'm the baby of my family. I mean, my mom and dad were married for years. What are you talking about, illegitimacy?" And he said, "Well, I started to argue with the Holy Ghost, but you don't argue with the Holy Ghost." And I had cooked dinner for him and his wife, and I said, "Well, tell me about these spirits. What are they, and what do they do?" So the one in particular, the illegitimacy, was what I was really interested in. Actually, the Lord had begun to deliver me from the spirit of Jezebel, but the actual calling out of the spirit had not been done, and that is an important thing. Sometimes you can starve these spirits out, but the spirit, you still have to cast that spirit out, because if it's still there, it can still operate. So anyway, the illegitimate spirit, he said, was a spirit that comes in through a pregnancy that is not wanted but maintained. And so I'm thinking, "You mean I wasn't wanted?" And he said, "No, I know your mom and dad tried for 5 years after your last brother to have a little girl. You were very much wanted." So as he began to describe the way these spirits work, all of a sudden I am hearing my aunts being described, their personalities very much in my life, insecurity and jealousy and all kinds of things that were descriptions of me and my mother's sisters. And so the hair stood up on the back of my neck, because then I knew where this spirit came in, because my mother's mother was abandoned at birth. So having been abandoned at birth, we could assume some situations that might have been present there, that my grandmother was conceived by a young woman who found herself in trouble, maybe pregnant without being married, maybe having an affair with a married man. We didn't really know the circumstances. But anyway, she was given away after she was born. And so that's where that spirit came in. Probably it was back further and further. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2. It says, "A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord." Now the word bastard is an ugly word, but what it actually means is, in the Old Testament, it's a Hebrew word, and it means a non-Hebrew and a Hebrew who have a child, because that was forbidden. It was forbidden for the Hebrews to marry or mix with anybody outside of the Hebrew nation. So that was the Old Testament definition of bastard. Okay? And what happened, he says, that they shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So that's why it's a curse. The people who were born under those circumstances were literally and physically not allowed, when God's people came together, they were not allowed to come together with God's people. So that meant that the things of God were not available to them. So they were like ostracized. In fact, they even were made to live in a different place. In Zechariah 9:6, it says, "And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod." They actually had another place that these people were to live. They were treated like lepers, almost. And so, if you do a word study on Ashdod, it can give you some descriptions of a person who may have this curse working in their life. The word Ashdod in Strong's Concordance means ravager. That means one who practices ravaging. So the word ravage means damage resulting from ravaging, to lay waste, plunder, destroy, ruin. Ravage suggests violent, often repeated or continuing depredation or destruction, looting, and theft. So we see that these manifestations can be upon a person who has the curse of the bastard. That's why you can give a brand new house to a person who has this curse upon their life, and in 6 months, it's in shambles. The windows will be broken. The curtains are hanging out. You know, it's dirty. The yard is not kept. There's junk everywhere, because this is one of the manifestations of a person who has the bastard curse. You can give someone who has this curse a brand new car or a nice used car, and in 6 months, it's not even running because they don't take care of it. And that's part of the curse. So this is something we really want broken off of our lives. Okay? Now, you don't have to have this type of birth in order to have the curse of the bastard on you. Let's look in the New Testament in Hebrews, and I'll show you some other ways that the curse of the bastard can come into your life. Hebrews chapter, where'd it go? Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So we see here that a child, a son or a daughter who is not disciplined, the spirit, that curse of the bastard can come upon their life. It can come upon a person who is not loved properly, who is raised up in a home where there was abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, where there was sexual abuse. If you weren't treated right, this spirit can come in. And what it says to that person is, you're not loved. That's the biggest thing that it does to a person, is causes them to feel like they are not loved, even that they are not worthy to be loved. And this is something that's very widespread in Christians, sadly. They don't understand that God loves them. And why is that? Because there is a block by this curse. Okay, in the another definition of bastard, in the Old Testament Hebrew, the root, it means to alienate. And that's what this curse does. It alienates you. It estranges you from God. It causes you to feel useless, disrespected, withdrawn, like you don't belong, like you're an outcast. You don't fit in. You always feel like you're on the outside looking in, even in your family. I can remember growing up, I had that feeling, and then my brother, who loved to torment me, would tease me by telling me that I wasn't even a part of the family. I came from somewhere else. And he used to like to tease me with that. Of course, it was just a reinforcement of that bastard curse. He had it too. We all had it. You know, I said lightly last night when Patty said, come and tell your pedigree. Well, I was a Davidson and found out I wasn't a Davidson. Found out when I was grown and married that my dad, I don't know for a fact that he was illegitimately conceived, but I believe that he was. His mother died when he was 11. The man that she had divorced and remarried was his stepdaddy, but he didn't know it was his stepdaddy. So when she died, he abandoned her, him, took the sisters that were born later, but abandoned him. So my grandmother, his grandmother and his aunt went and got him and raised him. And the man that my aunt was married to, his name was Davidson, and my daddy admired him very much, and so he went down and had his name changed. So my name is really Cutts, my maiden name. Okay, so then Mike and I got married, and we had been married for quite some time and found out that his daddy, whose name was Butod, was not actually a Butod, that the grandmother had had an affair. Mike's daddy was the result of that affair. So you see, that bastard curse is very strong upon me, upon my husband, and upon our children. Okay, so I didn't know about deliverance at the time, or when I was pregnant. The delivery room would have been more than just giving birth. I would have delivered the babies and then delivered the babies. Actually, it can be done while they're in the womb. You can do deliverance on that baby while it's in the womb. And so that's why it's important to know these things. If you have this curse working in your life, as your children grow up and become pregnant, you can break the curse off the children now. We're going to do that tonight while everybody's here. But then if you have children at home, when they get pregnant, you can break that curse of the bastard off of the mother and the baby. I've seen the result of that in my own daughter's life. It made a tremendous difference when the baby was born. And so another of those definitions means one of uncertain ancestry. So see, it's a 10-generation curse, which can spread out over 400 years. So what do we know happened in our families 400 years ago? We don't know. And there are skeletons in the closet, as they say. You know, we hear stories about our grandparents and how, oh, you know, Papa was real good at working with wood, and he was a good teacher, and he could ride a horse real good, and he was a good farmer. But we don't hear that he was molesting his grandchildren. You know, we don't hear those things. We don't hear the things that are affecting our lives that are kept secret, and those secret things are what are causing us lots of trouble. Those secret things that are kept hidden. So we see in the New Testament that curse can come in when a child is not loved properly. Let me tell you, parents, discipline equals love to a child. Remember that when your children are misbehaving, they are begging you to love them enough to make them stop doing what they're doing wrong and to behave. I don't mind telling my grandbaby, Grammy loves you enough to spank you. I've only had to do it once. And we both cried. But I do. I love her enough to spank her when she needs a spanking. And there's nothing wrong with spanking. I'm not talking about beating. You know, that little padded bottom was put there for a purpose so that you could spank it without hurting the child, without injuring the child. But your children want to be disciplined in the right way. Okay, so this curse can come in generationally. It may have nothing to do with your behavior, but it came down the family line. Or it could be that you were born outside of the marriage relationship. A lot of people think that if they get pregnant and they're not married, they can get married and fix it. But see, it is the conception that brings this curse in. It's an honorable thing to marry, but it does not break that curse. It has to be broken. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day who is just devastated because they have two daughters that are expecting babies that are not married. And one of the things that really just made her so upset was that she thought that curse had been broken off of their lives. So she didn't understand, why is this happening? And I said, well, I truly believe that there's more than just the bastard curse at work there. And I told her about this scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to read it if I can find Timothy. Where'd you go? 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me just start with 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. That's where I want to stop. Forbidding to marry. And when I first read this, I stopped and I said, Lord, I can't imagine there ever being a time on this earth that people would be forbidden to marry. Well, that's true. I hadn't thought about that in that respect. But he said, look up the word forbid. See, we think we know what these words mean, but sometimes when we look them up in that day and time when that word was used, and it's in the Greek, it means something very different than what we know it to mean. And when I looked it up, one of the definitions of forbid was neglect. And we are living in the days where people are neglecting to marry. They just come together and have sex and have babies and move on to the next person. They're neglecting to marry, and that is an end time thing. And that's what I told her. I believe that what we are seeing in this, in our time, is an end time sign that we are in those latter days. And one of the things that is so detrimental about this is that, well, we're going to see. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Okay, so in the neglecting to marry, women are girls, actually, children, actually, getting pregnant and having babies outside of the marriage relationship. Okay, this curse can come in if they are separated at birth. there, that curse will come in, that lying spirit will come and tell the baby that they weren't wanted, they were neglected. Like my son was born premature a little bit and had to go to neonatal intensive care in another city. My doctor wouldn't release me, which, you know, in those days I was obedient to everybody. And today I would have said, you're not keeping me from my baby. I'm walking out of here. And you try to stop me. But, you know, back then I thought I had to obey everybody because I was an obedient person. So my baby laid over in a hospital. Of course, Mike was there with him. But, you know, there is a bonding that needs to take place with that mother and the child that did not happen because he was whisked away from me because he couldn't breathe. And so there was a separation there. And I'm sure that spirit was waiting right to go in to cause him to feel unloved and unwanted and unnurtured and for that bonding not to be there. So it can come in if you're separated at birth. If the mother died during childbirth, that spirit will be right there because that heartbeat and the voice that baby heard the entire time that it was in the mama's tummy is no longer heard, and it feels that separation. It's very real. We don't really get that the spirit of that baby, even from conception, it's there, and it is very sensitive. The spirit is not a newborn thing in growth. The spirit is full-grown and very perceptive, even at conception. Okay, so if a baby is adopted sometimes because it's taken from the mother whose heartbeat the baby hears, the sound of the mother's voice and the other people in the family, and then suddenly it's in a strange place hearing different voices, that's traumatic to a baby's spirit. Maybe you had a parent that was absent, not physically, but perhaps, you know, if they had mental problems, they were there, but not really there. They were with the child, but not attentive. Then that spirit can come in. There are many ways that this spirit is waiting to come in and cause its curse to be activated. Okay. Even if it's an involuntary separation. So there is a spirit of rejection that comes in. And the spirit of rejection is a very damaging spirit. It causes one to act in a way that will cause people to reject them. And then the spirit comes up and says, see, they don't want you either. They don't like you either. And so it's a cruel spirit. Usually someone with a spirit of rejection is easily hurt, easily offended because of this rejection issue. They can be like a deep, dark hole of need. If you've ever known anybody who has suffered serious rejection, they are so needy, and you want to help them not to feel rejected, but it's so deep and so needy that it doesn't matter how much you give of yourself, it's never enough. And when you reach that point that you just can't give anymore, then that spirit of rejection comes in and reinforces itself in that person. Sometimes people that have a spirit of rejection will dress in a way that will cause you to reject them. That's what all this gothic stuff is. These people have been so rejected that they want to dress in a manner that will put you off. That way, it's because of their dress that they're rejected, and you're not actually rejecting them. It's their dress, the way they dress, that keeps you from wanting to be around them. Or a person who has serious rejection issues may not keep themselves clean. They will have a very offensive body odor, or to the point that you don't want to be around them. And that's their way of giving you a reason not to want to be around them. So it's not them that they're rejecting, that you're rejecting, but it's because they don't smell nice. They don't take care of themselves. They don't care how they look. They walk around like they just rolled out of bed. They don't keep their hair clean because they don't love themselves. They even reject themselves. It's a terrible, rejection is terrible. Or it'll cause them to act out and just be ridiculous so that you don't want to be around them. That sometimes it's to bring humiliation on themselves because they really feel like they don't deserve to have the same treatment that other people who are respected. A lot of your class clowns have these spirits of rejection going on. People who have all these tattoos and piercings until they are scary looking, that's what that's all about. Gangs, we talked about this the other night. A lot of people who have been rejected will join these gangs because they're looking for a place to be accepted. And so they'll go join a gang. They will alienate themselves. I remember growing up in elementary school, we would all sit, you know, with our friends at the cafeteria table, but there was always this one that was way down at the end of the table by themselves. He kept their heads down and ate by themselves and were ostracized. And I always felt so sorry for those people, but I didn't have the courage to go and include, you know, them. I wish that I had been able to do that, but you have the fear that you're going to be ostracized too. So it's just a really push-me-pull-y thing going on, especially with children. They will keep to themselves so that they're not rejected. People who have this curse will jump from relationship to relationship. They'll jump from job to job. They jump from church to church. They jump from marriage to marriage because of this curse in their life. There's no permanence. They feel unloved. I mean, I was the baby of the family. And the only little girl, you know, daddy's little darling, all of that, much doted over and everything, but I did not feel that I was really loved. And that was kind of confusing to me because I knew I was loved. I knew my mother and daddy loved me, my grandmother, you know, all my aunts and uncles, my brothers, and I was much loved, but I didn't feel loved. Even when I got married, I didn't really believe my husband loved me. And that's pretty bad. And there was no way he could prove it to me, you know, no matter how hard he tried. I knew that he loved me because he married me, but there was that spirit there saying, he don't love you. So it's a cruel, cruel spirit. There is an unloving spirit that comes in. And what that does is it keeps you from being able to receive love, and it keeps you from being able to give love. The love that you need to receive, you can't receive it. And the love that you want to give, you can't give it. It's torture. It's an unloving spirit. It causes a person not to be able to receive goodness. Have you ever known anybody that you just wanted to do something for and they just couldn't let you do it? They're the ones they do for others, but you can't do anything for them. That's a hard thing, just when you find somebody that you want to do something good for, but they're going to pay you back in some other way because in reality they don't feel like they deserve anything good. I remember when I was dating, if there was a guy that wanted to take me to a nice restaurant and everything, I wouldn't go with him because I didn't feel like, no, that's not, that spirit would say, that's not for you. That's not for you. You know, things that that I used to think were cute, girls would dress, you know, and as a teenager I would see those things and I would really want to try it, you know, and that spirit would say, that's not for you. That's for them. You can't wear that. No, you can't do that. So it's really, you're a prisoner of this thing. So that's why when I got free of that thing, I just really enjoyed myself. If I like something and I want to wear it, I wear it. You know, I'm free to do that now. And it's fun. It's fun. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. I had an inferiority complex. Everybody else was better than me. You know, if I would want to be a part of, maybe want to run for cheerleader or something, but I couldn't do it. No. because I'm not good enough to be a cheerleader. That's for those girls. It was really hard to have that. Hurt and offended easily because you're already wounded. You're already hurting. And so it's like you're wearing all of your feelings right here, and it doesn't take but just a little bitty thing to hurt your feelings and to offend you. So there's a huge spirit of offense there just waiting to be offended. Most people with this curse will have problems with authority. Well, because God doesn't love you, so why should you care if you do good or not? You don't even feel like God loves you. You don't feel like others love you. You don't even love yourself. So you don't care. It just gives you a real I don't care attitude. So there's rebellion. There's lawlessness. You know, prisons are full of people who have this curse. There are many people in prison and in jail who have the bastard curse. They get locked up. Who cares? They kind of feel like they belong to be, that they deserve to be there. This is one of the biggest problems. Because of that block of the love of God, they have no interest in spiritual things. And that is something that we're going to really see a result of. As this generation of these children born out of wedlock, when they have this block in their life. Now, in the New Testament days like now, we would never keep anybody out of the congregation of the Lord who has this curse on their life. Most of the time, it's been brought down generationally, so we wouldn't hold anybody responsible for it. But they'll come into the house of God. They'll come into the congregation of the Lord. They really want to have these things of God, but because that curse is there, they can't receive it. There's a wall between them and God that keeps them from receiving the things of God. But then they feel it all over again. Oh, well, God blessed them, but God won't bless me. God does this for them, but God doesn't do that for me. So there's that spirit of offense even at God, that he's blessing other people but not blessing you. And this is the thing. I've been teaching this probably since 2006. I said in 10 to 20 years, we're going to see an outbreak of evil like we've never seen before, because all of these people who have this curse working in their life, if they don't have somebody that can bring them to the Lord, that can bring deliverance to them, then they're going to have no interest in the things of God, and anything goes. Life has no value. And we're going to see some ugly things as a result of that. They may be interested in the things of God, but they can't seem to enter in. There are many people who want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, but they just can't seem to get to receive it. It could be a block of the bastard curse. People with this curse have extreme fears. I had phobias. I can remember I went to a little get-together with some girls that I graduated with. There were about 20 girls, and we all met at this lake. One of them had a lake house. And they were talking about this story that I had completely forgotten about because I got delivered. See? But they were saying, do you remember that time we went to the University of Texas and we were going to go up in that tower, and the elevator got off balance and this alarm went off, and you were standing in the back of the elevator, but your leg came through the whole crowd and got in the door, and your arms were out. I mean, I'm telling you, there's no shame when fear is attached. I didn't even want to get on the elevator because I had claustrophobia really, really bad. But when that alarm, they thought they were going to have fun. They're rocking that elevator, and I'm freaking out. Be still. And that alarm went off, and I'm telling you, my leg just shot forward, and I grabbed it like this and took. And I got off that elevator, and they just laughed and laughed. Well, listen, that wasn't funny. When you have that kind of fear, it is a tremendous fear. Not only did I have claustrophobia, I was terrified of needles. I was terrified of doctors. I was terrified of roaches. I mean, if I got up in the night and there was a roach, I would not sleep. I would stick a towel under my door and I'd sit there and watch it, because if that roach got in there, I mean, this is ridiculous. And one time I was in the beach, and you know how people say when a bee comes around, just ignore it and it'll go on. Well, I was sunbathing at my aunt's and a bee came around. I was terrified that I was going to lay real still. Well, it stung me on the leg and I swatted at it and went up under my bathing suit. And I mean, it was really stinging. And I ran about a mile down the beach with an umbrella. I tore the umbrella up. And I'm sure it was just a big entertainment for everybody on the beach. But I was freaking out because that bee was, gosh, I was running down the, it just made a fool of myself. And, you know, when you have that kind of fear, you don't care what people think. I was afraid to go to bed at night. I had a fear of being murdered. I had a fear that somebody was going to stab me. Of course, me and my brothers used to watch scary movies. And they would get a big kick out of looking at the front door and looking at each other. And I would be sitting in the chair in the corner by the front door, those little windows in the door. And they would jump up and run out, and I'd be just paralyzed. And then I would go to bed, and one of them would hide in my closet. And I'd be just about to fall asleep, and they'd go, with the door. I mean, I just lived in fear for many, many years. Oh, and they just loved it. Loved it. But I had a lot of fears and a lot of phobias. Afraid of the dark, you know, something scratched my window. I would cry and my daddy would come and walk me with his hand around the house to show me there's nothing there. And that was comforting that as soon as he left and I heard the scratching, and I was still not convinced something wasn't there. That's why you should not watch scary movies, children. Those things are geared to instill fear in you. So stay away from those things. Okay, so then there was all this insecurity, fear of rejection, low self-esteem. Insecurity is a terrible thing. You never want to try something. If I ever did join something, I would be so scared I would quit. You know, I think about all the things that were robbed from me growing up. I was angry whenever I found out that this was a spirit. I thought it was me. And then as I grew up, I really began to hate those things in myself. So then self-hatred came in, which is all part of it too. Causes you to hate yourself, to have self-hatred. You know, you're in such pain, and you don't know what to do with it. So that's why I'm glad that you are here, so that we can deal with this thing tonight. A lot of people who have this get into self-destructive behaviors. There are people who actually cause harm to themselves. They cause pain to themselves because it releases the pain that they're feeling in the loneliness and everything that this spirit causes. I believe it's the root to like anorexia. I've listened to things on television where the girls say there is a voice that tells them that they don't deserve to eat. And I know what that is. I mean, that is a spirit of rejection and the bastard curse to say that you don't even deserve to eat. That's terrible. And girls starve themselves to death. Or it will cause them to want to be loved so badly that they go out looking for love in all the wrong places, thinking that sex is love, and then they end up living a promiscuous lifestyle, which brings in all kinds of other problems. There's diseases that are contracted, more babies being born out of wedlock. And the sad thing is that deep, dark hole of need never gets filled up, no matter what you put into it. A lot of people become suicidal. I did eventually end up in a severe depression for 4 years. It was a terrible time in my life. So it can cause oppression and depression and self-hatred, even to the most extreme cases. Suicide will cause people to want to die, to wish they had never been born, having death wishes. I had that. I wasn't suicidal. I didn't want to kill myself. I just wanted to be happy. I didn't know how to get there. And so Jesus was the answer for that, and Jesus is the answer. Antidepressants might get you through, but they're not the answer. The love of God can take care of this spirit. The love of God. I had an encounter with Jesus, and he just poured out his love on me, and that was the end of the depression, and the bastard curse was broken as I received his love, and he broke that. When we are in that pain, we want to anesthetize. We just want to dull it. So whatever it takes to dull it. So people will go to drugs or alcohol or gambling or shopping or food, hobbies, pornography, all kinds of things, video games, whatever you can do to take your mind off of your pain, that's what you do. You want to escape how you really feel. Or it could cause you to begin to steal. You know, you see these movie stars that get caught stealing. I mean, they make lots and lots of money. They don't need to steal. So what would make them steal? It's that lawlessness that sometimes people, because they have no self-worth, they think if they have lots of things that it will help them to feel like they are worthy. I know someone who did kill themselves, and when we were cleaning out the apartment, it was like, I just couldn't even believe all of the, I mean, super expensive stuff that they had accumulated. And I realized that that was the way that they were trying to give themselves a sense of worth. I deserve, you know, these expensive things. I'm worthy of them. But it doesn't take care of the root of it. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a really bad injury. You can bury yourself in books and movies and all sorts of things to try to get rid of how you feel. There is a lying spirit at work with this spirit, with this bastard curse. The lying spirit tells you that you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you're not worthy to be loved, you don't deserve the good things. Nobody wants you. It's a lying spirit. And we talked about that lying spirit this morning and what you do when that lying spirit comes. You bind it in the name of Jesus and command it to go. And we have to do that. We have to open our mouth and speak to that spirit. There's also self-hatred, hating yourself. And then the lie that God doesn't love you either. That's really what Satan wants you to think. God doesn't love you. Come serve me. I'll love you. I'll give you whatever you want. But the end is disaster. But God does love you. So the lying spirit's goal is to cause you to become offended at God, which is an antichrist spirit. There's an antichrist spirit attached to this bastard curse. That's why you're not interested in things of the spirit. Or if you are, you can't enter into the deeper things of the spirit. So, let's see. You feel like access to God is blocked. So you can see how serious this curse is. It will hinder your spiritual growth. It will cause you not to be able to enter into intimacy with God or others because of that block. Okay? So tonight, we want to break this curse. We want to allow that to be broken off of you so that you can enter into the congregation of the Lord. You can enter into the intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ and with your Heavenly Father, because He desires to have that intimacy with you. Another way it could affect somebody is you go into perfectionism. That's what happened to me. I thought if I could just, you know, be perfect and do everything perfect, then people would love me and accept me, and God would accept me. One of the things that is so damaging about this is without this being broken, the best you can be is religious. There's a huge religious spirit there because you can't be real because you've been rejected. So perfectionism, you become performance-oriented, you can prove with what you do that you're worthy to be loved. There's a self-importance that comes in with that. And then you become driven to the point that you become an overachiever. You begin to have delusions of grandeur. There's excessive pride connected to it. A person that has this spirit can also, this curse, will become sickly. They'll have a lot of illnesses, real or imagined. Could be real, could be imagined. But the word hypochondriac, someone who has this curse will become a hypochondriac because if they don't feel loved and feel worthy to be loved, then the sickness will come and then you get the attention. Suddenly there's concern and you get this attention that you didn't get otherwise. So it's a good thing. The lying spirit says it's a good thing to be sick because people will care about you when you're sick. So you'll be sickly, either real or imagined. And then, of course, there's the fear of dying. You're always looking at yourself. You become obsessed with something being wrong with you. And you're running to the doctor for every little thing because there's that fear of dying. Self-hatred can cause autoimmune diseases. Everything in your flesh starts out in the spirit first. You know, I'm always amazed at how somebody can be diagnosed with something that they didn't have last year. You didn't have that last year when my brother was diagnosed bipolar. Well, you didn't have that 2 years ago. Why now? What happened at that time that caused you to become bipolar? It starts in the spirit man first. You begin to have unnatural thoughts, and it throws the balance of the chemicals off in your mind, and that sets off a whole scenario of symptoms. Everything that happens in your flesh starts in the spirit, because first we're spirit, and then we're flesh. So if you have an autoimmune disease, it could be connected to this because of self-hatred, because you don't feel loved. It can also be the cause of rheumatoid arthritis. Self-hatred can be the cause of rheumatoid arthritis. Allergies, fear, that was my big thing. I had allergies. I was sick 6 months out of the year. Twice a year I would get the same sickness, chronic just sinus infections that would end up, had pneumonia twice with it. Asthma can be caused by the bastard curse. And then because of the fear, you have acid reflux and all these fear things. Anxiety attacks, heart attacks, heart disease, high blood pressure, because anger is attached to it too, because deep down you become angry that you're not loved. And then that can be a cause of, anger can cause constipation, hemorrhoids, aneurysms, hernias, high blood pressure, strokes. Birth defects can be caused by the bastard curse. Because what happens is, there is an arrested development that takes place. If you think about a baby, a woman who conceives a child, let's say she's not married, or let's say she's married. She could be an older woman, say menopausal age. You're irregular during that time, and so when you're irregular, you don't really think of a lot about it because you can miss months and no big deal. But then when the symptoms start showing up, and in those 2 or 2.5, 3 months, the baby's growing and it's in a friendly environment. There's peace there. But then when those symptoms start showing up and the mother is gripped with fear, I mean, panic sets in and you begin to think that, oh my goodness. And then fear comes in, and all of a sudden the environment is not friendly anymore. There's tremendous fear around that fetus. And sometimes it can even arrest the development mentally, even physically. And so sometimes babies are born with defects that are caused by arrested development. It can be the root of confusion. There's a lot of confusion in people who have the bastard curse. There's learning disabilities there. The deaf and dumb spirit is there. There can be speech impediments, tongue tied, stuttering, lisps. There is deafness involved. It's far reaching. There's spiritual deafness because it's a spiritual thing. It can cause your ears, your spiritual ears to be deaf, your mouth to be dumb, blindness, your eyes to be darkened, your heart unable to understand. It can be caused by incest and molestation. There's a perverse spirit at work there, because anytime there's an antichrist spirit, there's a spirit of perverseness, the spirit of error, the lying spirit. So we're gonna start doing some deliverance and calling these things out. If there was anything that you recognized as I talked about this, then it's been stirred up. The fallow ground's been broken up. It's been exposed. That's what I like. When you shine light on something in the darkness, it's been exposed. When you mention something that is in you, it's almost like calling roll call. If I called your name right now, you would perk up. It would cause you to jump inside. So these spirits, as they've been mentioned, are jumping. And I put them on alert right now that when they are called, they must come out in the name of Jesus. I put them on alert right now. I give them an eviction notice in the spirit that when they are called, they will come out on the breath when they are called out in Jesus' name. Father, right now, just cover everybody with the blood of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the knowledge of this word. And Lord, I thank you for the ministry of deliverance. I thank you that you love us enough that you want us to be free of this curse if it's working in our lives, so that we can receive from you, so that the rest of what happens this week will be effective, and that they won't go home in the same way that they came. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to send your warring angels to assist in deliverance. Cover us with your precious blood. I take authority right now, in the name of Jesus, over the curse of the bastard. And I bind that curse now, and I break it in the name of Jesus Christ. I break it off of every person in the name of Jesus. You curse of the bastard. And every spirit that came in with that curse, I bind you right now and break your power, and I command you to go now in Jesus' name. I speak to every, I speak to rejection in the name of Jesus. I bind you and break your power. Spirit of rejection, you go. Self-rejection, rejection by others, rejection by God, rejection by mother, go in the name of Jesus. Rejection by father, go. All spirits of rejection, you go in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Take a deep breath and just blow it out. Come out. Rejection, go. Self-rejection, self-hatred, go in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of offense. You spirit of offense, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Being easily hurt, wearing your feelings on your shoulders, being easily offended, offending others in the name of Jesus. You spirit of offense, you go in Jesus' name. Being offended at God, go in the name of Jesus. I break your power. That deep, dark hole of need, I speak to need in the name of Jesus. All that darkness and neediness, go in the name of Jesus. I come against unclean spirits, not keeping yourself clean in the name of Jesus. Dirty hair, body odor, not wanting to take a bath, go in the name of Jesus. All the unclean spirits, you go. Come out of their minds right now. Come out of their bones, go in the name of Jesus. Unclean spirits, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of their organs in the name of Jesus. Come out of their lungs. Come out of their heart. Come out of their blood. Come out of their bones, their brain in Jesus' name. All those unclean spirits, you go. I come against the spirit of the loner. Alienating yourself. Getting off by yourself. Not wanting to talk to other people, to go into different places, to new places, seeing new people, meeting new people, being scared of new situations. Go in the name of Jesus. All fear spirits, you go. I bind that spirit of fear, that megarmisabib, terror on every side. I bind you and command you to go. I break your power. All fear spirits, go. Terror, go. In the name of Jesus. Fear of meeting new people. Fear of man. Fear of God. Fear of not being loved. Fear of death. Fear of rats, of roaches, whatever your fear is, I bind it now in the name of Jesus and command it to go. Fear of bees, fear of insects, fear of snakes, fear of rats, fear of the dark, fear of water, fear of drowning, fear of dying, fear of cancer, all fear spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. All fear of being abandoned, fear of not being loved, go in the name of Jesus. All fear spirits, go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. All fear, go. Go in the name of Jesus. Fear of not being loved, fear of being rejected, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against inferiority complexes, all inferiority complexes, feeling that everybody else is better than you. Go in the name of Jesus. Inferiority, go in the name of Jesus. All inferiority, feeling like you're not worthy to have good things, feeling you're not worthy to be loved. Go in the name of Jesus. All rebellion, go in the name of Jesus. Rebellion and lawlessness, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Lawlessness and rebellion, go. Trouble with authority, not wanting to mind in Jesus' name, go in the name of Jesus. I come against the Antichrist spirit. I bind you and break your power. Antichrist spirit, you go in the name of Jesus. We break your power right now in the name of Jesus. Every Antichrist spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Not being interested in the things of God, not being able to read the Word, not being able to understand the Word, go in Jesus' name. I break your power. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Not being able to enter into the things of God. Feeling like you're on the outside looking in. I break your power in the name of Jesus. All those spirits that are keeping you blocked from the things of God, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Everything that stands between you and God, I tear down every wall of self-protection that you have put up to not be hurt again. I tear down that wall right now that's even kept you from God, kept you from being able to receive, kept you from being able to receive the love of God. I bind you in Jesus' name. Insecurity, all insecurity, I bind you and break your power. You go in the name of Jesus. All insecurity, fear of rejection, fear of not being loved, being insecure, scared all the time, scared in Jesus' name. I come against jealousy. Jealousy, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All spirits of jealousy, you go in the name of Jesus. Envy, resentment, go. Jealousy, envy, resentment, go in the name of Jesus. I speak to the spirit of anger. Anger, go in the name of Jesus. Anger at yourself, anger at God, anger at others, go in the name of Jesus. All rage, anger, temper tantrums, go in the name of Jesus. Anger, you go. Come out in Jesus' name. All that anger. Anger, wanting to strike back, wanting revenge, wanting to fight in the name of Jesus, you go. All those anger spirits, go in Jesus' name. Wanting to tear things up, wanting to ravage, go. I speak to the spirit of ravager, go in the name of Jesus. Destruction, go in the name of Jesus. Tearing things up, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Needing and demanding a lot of attention. Needing to be the center of attention. See me. Notice me. You've got to notice me. Notice me. Notice me. Speak to me. Come to me. Go in Jesus' name. All that need of attention, you go in the name of Jesus. Needing to be in the center of attention. Needing to be noticed, go in the name of Jesus. Constant reassurance. Needing constant reassurance. You go in the name of Jesus. I love you, 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 I love you. All the time. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. Constant reassurance. The need for constant reassurance. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. All spirits of being unworthy of love, go in the name of Jesus. Staying in abusive relationships, allowing yourself to be abused because you feel worthy to be abused. I break that in the name of Jesus. All abusive relationships, I command you to be broken in the name of Jesus. Feeling like you deserve to be punished, I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. Self-destructive behaviors, go in the name of Jesus. All self-destructive behaviors, self-hatred, causing pain to yourself, cutting, tattooing, piercing, starving yourself, eating too much, stuffing yourself, gluttony, I bind you and command you to go. All spirits of bondage, bondage to alcohol, bondage to drugs, go in the name of Jesus. We break those spirits of bondage. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of death, death and destruction. Death wishes, suicide, wishing you could die, wishing you had never been born. I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All death spirits, go in the name of Jesus. All obsessive compulsive behaviors, gambling, shopping, stealing, eating, going to pornography, fornication, bookworms, escapism, false comforts, false idols, in the name of Jesus. Burying yourself in games, in books, in movies, inordinate affection of pets, I bind you and break your power, pouring all your love into a pet instead of loving your mate or your children, in Jesus' name. I break that unloving spirit now in the name of Jesus that won't allow you to love, to give love, and to receive love, in Jesus' name. You go now in Jesus' name. All spirits of perfectionism. I got to do it right, got to do it perfect, got to prove that I'm worthy. All perfectionism, I break your power in the name of Jesus. All spirits of performance, I've got to perform, I've got to do something, I've got to do it right, I've got to do it the best, in Jesus' name. Self-importance, a need for self-importance, you go in Jesus' name. All drivenness, workaholics, go in the name of Jesus. Drivenness, being driven, driven, driven all the time, working, working, working all the time. Not allowing yourself to rest. Abusing yourself by working and pushing and pushing. I break you in Jesus' name. Overachieving, being an overachiever. I bind you and break your power. Go in the name of Jesus. Now, delusions of grandeur. Being a legend in your own mind, in your own fantasy world as a way of escape, as a way of making yourself what you want to be, in Jesus' name. All delusions of grandeur, all fantasy, go in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Excessive pride, pride, I bind you and break your power, go in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit of pride. I bind the spirit of false humility, which is also pride. False humility, always trying to be humble and proud of it. In the name of Jesus, I break that in Jesus' name. I break it in the name of Jesus. Look how humble I am. It's pride. I bind it in Jesus' name and break your power. I come against the hypochondriac in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit of hypochondriac. Always having a pain, always talking about a pain, always talking about an illness, running to the doctor for every little thing. Hypochondria, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. Needing to be sick for attention because people pay attention to me. People are nice to me when I'm sick. In Jesus' name, I break your power. I come against the fear of dying. The fear of dying and the fear of death, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, comfort. We call upon the Comforter right now, Lord. Come and comfort. comfort your people, Father. I come against autoimmune diseases. I break your power. Lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, epilepsy, whatever your ailment is, call it out. I break the power of it now in Jesus' name. I bind allergies in the name of Jesus, and I break your power. All allergies go. Come out of the sinus cavities. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out of the lungs. Come out of the bronchial tubes. Go. Come out of the blood. Come off the skin. Go. All allergies, you go in Jesus' name. Asthma, I bind you and break your power. Get out in Jesus' name. You spirit of infirmity, you go in the name of Jesus. All fear-related illnesses, acid reflux, GERD, anxiety attacks, heart disease, go in the name of Jesus. Go. All fear-related diseases, go in the name of Jesus. Anxiety attacks, panic attacks, go in the name of Jesus. Constipation, hemorrhoids, aneurysms, hernias, acne, all skin disorders, psoriasis, seborrhea, rashes, go in the name of Jesus. I speak a reversal to all birth defects that took place in the womb. I bind you and I speak a reversal to them right now. Any birth defects that came down as from the curse of the bastard or from fear, you go in Jesus' name. I speak to sleep disorders, insomnia, trouble sleeping. I bind you and break your power. Sweet sleep belongs to the saints, and we are saints. And we thank you, Father, for sweet sleep. I bind the spirit of stupor, you go. Dullness of mind, go in the name of Jesus. I speak to confusion. In Jesus' name, I bind you and break your power. Come out of their minds right now. All confusion, spirits of confusion, go. In the name of Jesus, all perverse spirits, all twisted spirits, go. In the name of Jesus. I bind the deaf and dumb spirit right now in Jesus' name. I break that spirit of deaf and dumb. Go. In the name of Jesus, that causes learning disabilities. I bind and break the power of learning disabilities right now in Jesus' name. All speech impediments. Satan, I command you to loose their tongues in Jesus' name. I come against spiritual deafness, spiritual dumbness, spiritual blindness. I break your power. I command you to have ears that hear in Jesus' name. Ears be opened. Deaf ears be opened in the name of Jesus. I command you to have mouths that are able to speak. In Jesus' name, eyes that see, I command open eyes to be open, blindness, you go, spiritual blindness and physical blindness, go, in Jesus' name, eyes be opened, hearts be opened, I break closed hearts, that stony heart, I command the heart to be circumcised, and the word says that he will give you a heart of flesh, I just speak that heart of flesh right now. In Jesus' name. I bind all spirits of incest. The bastard curse that came in through incest. I break the power of incest off of you right now. In Jesus' name. All spirits that came in from incest, I break your power and command you to go. In Jesus' name. All spirits that came into you because of molestation, I bind you and break your power and command you to get out in Jesus' name. All spirits that came in through molestation, mental and emotional abuse, I break your power. I speak healing to the minds and the emotions in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of error and the lying spirit and the perverse spirit, and I loose the spirit of truth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against arrested development. Right now, in Jesus' name. I want you to put your hands on your head. I bind and break the power of arrested development, even that came in through the womb. In Jesus' name, I speak a supernatural maturity to the mind. Set the mind straight in Jesus' name. I speak healing to the mind. I activate the mind of Christ that was given to you when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you do not have mental problems. You do not have memory problems. We thank you, Lord, that your mind is whole and we can have a whole mind. I speak supernatural healing to every mind that's been affected by arrested development. I call for a supernatural maturity to come forth to the age that each one of you are in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Psalm 68, 4 and 5 says, sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rideth upon the heavens by his name and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless. A father to the fatherless. If you have been fatherless, I want you to receive right now the father to the fatherless, who is God, your heavenly father. And a judge of the widows, God in his holy habitation. Romans 8:15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I break that spirit of bondage right now. I break that fear off of your life. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. I just release upon each of you right now the spirit of adoption. You are not a bastard, but a son. And I break that curse of the bastard off of you. And I say, receive now the spirit of adoption whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. Lord, if there's anybody here who's never received a father's blessing, I ask you to do that. Speak to them now like you did to me, Lord. It's a supernatural thing. You can do it to everybody at the same time, but speak to them their worth, their value to you. Lord, I thank you that depression was not just a sickness, but it was a symptom of an identity crisis. And I ask right now, Lord, that you would let each person here know their true identity in you, not their family bloodline, but in you. And I call you now to enter into the congregation of the Lord. Enter in. See yourself entering into the congregation of the Lord. Receive your place in the family of God right now in Jesus' name. No longer a bastard, but a son. And I declare right now that if there's anybody in here who's been trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, now that that bastard curse is broken, that block is gone, I say, receive ye the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we bless you. Lord, send your Holy Spirit right now to fill up every vacated place. And I bind right now every spirit of backlash and retaliation that would come to torment your people. Lord, I bless them with a restful night's sleep. I bless them to be here at 6 o'clock in the morning to receive what you have for them in your fullness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.